You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, enlightened, light fast, lighthearted light bulbs. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 273, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your cacophony of quiz crunchy kooky cohorts.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris. Oh, we continued the alliteration.
It always works well whenever she has the...
Oh, yes.
The cut
Karen,
sound.
Colin, and Chris.
Yeah. I just realized that now.
I was looking at my notes. I think this is from episode 68. 100%. Remember, I was like really into bad kids jokes.
Yeah, that one website.
Yes, I think they rebranded as Kids Write Jokes. It used to be bad kids jokes. And it's not, they're not necessarily bad. They're just kids jokes where it kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I found some that I think I shared with you all in the show before, but like I started reading them and I lost it. Let me share some right before we head into the quiz. Okay.
Please.
What did the doctor say to the platypus?
What?
Sir, you are in quite a pickle.
I was expecting maybe a bad like Bill joke or something, like mangled. You know what I mean? Bill. Like the kid maybe understood the bill, but no, that's even better. Even better.
Why was the cow's dress wet?
No.
Because she washed her boobies 1 hour ago. Exclamation point.
Oh God!
Like there is something there.
Get off
like,
her back. She just the
utter milking cows.
Yeah,
we still say chicken because there was that one joke that was like, what did the man say to the chicken when it went to the restaurant? It was like, what? Sorry, sir, we don't serve seeds here. Only chicken.
What stuck in our household was it was something like, oh, what do you do if the spider climbs into your bed, into your blankets or something?
Do farts.
Do farts. That's
do
right.
Do farts, all caps. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I did a fart. Do farts. all right. Let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz, hot shot. Here I have some random Trivial Pursuit cards. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Buzz in with the right answer. Here we go. We have Silver Screen.
Okay.
Again, this is from a time long ago. And Trivial Pursuit Genus 4. Let's do Silver Screen first. Get it out of the way. All right. Blue Wedge, what were the boys in Where the Boys Are?
What were the boys?
Oh, jeez.
I'm now blown away here because I've never seen the film, but I assume they were boys.
Sorry. Where were the boys?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Totally changes.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Where the boys are.
All right.
Just a general geographical area.
Yeah, just right. General.
Okay. All right.
Colin.
Florida.
It is Florida.
Woo!
Wow.
It was way in the back of my brain somewhere. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. I think you'll get this one. What 1960 movie chronicled the adventures of four college girls on Easter break?
Yeah, one more time.
Yes.
What 1960 movie chronicled the adventures of four college girls on Easter break?
1960.
I'm sure we've heard of this movie, but I, but it's like I've probably
I'm
heard of the
100%
title,
sure you've
sure,
heard of
okay,
this movie.
Sure, okay.
Because it is Where the Boys Are.
Oh, okay.
So mad at myself.
Should have known this.
Of course.
Silver screen cards, you're only supposed to read like one question.
Yeah.
Because they're all themed. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, well, all right. Now we're on notice. We should have.
Stacking one of our core... beliefs here. Right. All right. Here we go.
Yellow Wedge, which star of Where the Boys Are quit acting and went where nuns are?
I have no idea.
I don't have a guess. I don't.
Dolores Hart.
Oh, okay.
Dolores. Okay.
Did not have that one.
All right. Puce Wedge. What color were Superman's boots as worn by Christopher Reeve?
Ooh.
Chris.
Okay. I believe they were red.
They were red.
Red cape, blue suit, red boots.
Green Wedge. Who sang the title song to Where the Boys Are?
Oh. All right. 1960.
Girls Having Fun.
Oh, gosh.
Go for it.
Peggy Lee. I have no idea.
Oh, good guess.
Colin?
Connie Francis.
It is Connie Francis.
Nice.
Woo!
I was going to turn the camera to reveal a massive Where the Boys Are.
Giant, like,
frame poster.
Where the Boys Are shrine here.
Signed by the cast.
Yeah.
All right, last question on the silver screen card. Who played Burt Gordon, Eddie Felsen's manager in The Hustler?
That's not Where the Boys Are. Did you say Burt Gordon or Burp Gordon?
Burt. Who's Burp
Gordon?
Well,
I don't
know. Oh, Colin.
I have no idea.
Well, The Hustler, that was Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason, right?
If so, then I would
I think so, because it was Color of Money was like a spiritual sequel.
Yes, it was the sequel,
the
right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No, right. No, sorry. So, right. Paul Newman was being managed, so Jackie Gleason would have been the manager.
It says here, George C. Scott.
George C. Scott. All right.
Next card, Genus 4. People in Places, Blue Wedge. What New England state made whistling underwater illegal after much debate? Is that even possible?
These questions are so dumb. These silly
yeah,
laws.
Weird
questions.
Laws.
Like,
yeah,
how
yeah,
am
yeah.
I supposed to? I don't know. Okay. Well, I mean, look.
Okay. New England state.
Somewhere
Chris,
on the
you're
coast.
From New England.
Connecticut.
No, it is Vermont.
Oh, man. Are they landlocked?
They still have like lakes.
They have lakes and stuff
water.
Like that. I thought it was maybe in the ocean.
Why would you whistle underwater?
Why would you whistle?
Why would you care if someone else underwater?
Did it. Yeah.
More to the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Pink Wedge Arts and Entertainment. What was the first primetime network TV series to show bare bottoms?
Okay.
What was the first primetime network TV series to show bare bottoms? Colin. I'm not going to look at the answer yet.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe we can reason
okay,
out.
Sure.
I think it's like babies.
Yeah. Like a baby.
Yeah, you know, like I Love Lucy shows like Ricky Jr.'s butt or something like that. I'm going on the assumption they're talking about adult bare bottoms.
I am
and
not
and going. I think okay, it might okay. be a lot later than we think, like into the 80s. Like I think it could be
maybe like a sexy alien on Star
or like
Trek.
Well, I mean, don't you remember there was like the maybe you don't there was like a big deal about like Dennis Franz's butt on NYPD Blue.
Oh yeah.
Like, I do remember. You think that could be it?
I'm saying it could be like if Dennis Franz's butt is the barrier breaker, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember or the sort of the hullabaloo about that. And if we were at trivia having nothing else, I would say we need to write that down, because if it's not it, we're going to be kicking ourselves.
But the idea of it being a kid's butt is very intriguing. You're right. Or like a baby in particular. I mean,
NYPD Blue was such a I was too young for that show. But
it's
like,
also, let's be clear, it's a primetime TV series. Right, so it's not like it's narrowing it down to like a series, which to me is like that's not like the news, that's not a special, that's
yeah,
like
not Cops
series.
Okay, here you go. Answer
right.
Reveal. NYPD Blue.
See,
hey,
that's what I'm saying.
All right.
Good reasoning. Yellow Wedge. Who greeted Sonny Bono's election to Congress by saying, "Quote: Politicians are one step below used car salesmen."
Ouch. Who greeted
Chris.
Greeted
Cher.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna
it
say.
Is
Cher. Okay.
Cher.
Right.
Cher. Okay.
Yeah. His ex-wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Purple Wedge. How many shipboard watches per day does the US Navy observe? How many shipboard watches per day?
Right, like third
does
watch,
the US
fourth
Navy
watch. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Like
Yeah.
Well, rule of numbers.
Yeah,
you have to pick a random
exactly.
number. What do we go with?
Go with 3.
Times 2, it's 6.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
That's the, yes, the rarely observed corollary of go with three times two.
Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. What company sloganized, quote, "Nothing says lovin' like something from the oven"?
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
I mean, I think it's...
Colin.
You want to go with it?
I'm going to guess Pillsbury.
That's what I think it is.
It is Pillsbury. It is.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
The little nothing... Pillsbury doughboy. And, yes. You know, he's laughing, poke yeah. his little stomach. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of sensual. Yeah.
That's nothing the thing. I think they... says I think loving. They, I feel like they came up with that, and then they're like, okay, we're going to go with this. This is what we're going to go with. And then, like, 5 seconds later, like after it was far too late, it was like, oh,
whoops.
That, you know, I just realized that kind of sounds like.
All right, last question on this card, wild card, orange wedge. What do most restaurateurs call the clear plastic shield between faces and a salad bar?
Oh, yes.
Chris.
The sneeze guard.
It is the sneeze guard. Good job, Brains.
Who has a salad bar?
You have to reach under it to get things or sneeze on stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, before the kale craze of the 2000s, like, remember the health craze of kale?
I remember.
We're still kind of in it. But before that, one of the top uses for kale is to dress the salad bar.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's decoration. They eat.
Right.
Well, it's hardy.
It's durable. Yeah. Kid grabs it, throws it on the floor, just put it right back there. It's fine.
You take the kale, yeah. you staple it to the side of the wood.
Yeah.
You leave, yeah. put it up on Monday, it's good to Friday.
Yeah. You don't need to take it down every day. It's fine. You just leave it. It's fine.
All right. So today's episode, I was going through my hard drive. I had this old Good Job Brain folder. And I'm like looking through this and it was just kind of trip down memory lane. And I had a lot of photos of Chris. I don't know what it was. Maybe we had a blog post, maybe it was something, but there was a photo of you, adult you, next to a very, very young John Cena. Do you remember this photo?
I remember the whole thing. So it was E3 2004, I think, video game trade show. I, you know, had various press appointments and stuff like that. And one of them was that it was at the THQ booth because they made the WWE games. And they were like, oh, do you want to talk to John Cena? And then another interview that I had that day was Stacy Keibler. And the thing is that John Cena, he had not won the WWE championship yet. I mean, he was a mid-card guy, like mid-tier wrestler that he was at E3 talking to me. I loved him. He was so talented. And this was when he would freestyle rap in the ring. And so I had him do a freestyle rap about old video games. And then we took a photograph and that was it. And I was on my way. And that was the time that I met John Cena and I had him do a freestyle rap about old video games. I'll play it for you right now. Here it is.
Do you have it?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Let's all listen to it. Here we go.
This is John Cena, every ball in your red. You want the retro video games? It's cold with head. Yo, that's right. It's a site with hits from the days of 8-bits and button mashes. Anything else? That's a straight disaster. Yeah, we blowing it up slow like the bootleg Contra code. I got lights to spend, up, down, left, right. Select start. Now I'm ready to fight like Mike Tyson's punch out wrist and Honda was trouble. Yeah, that's right. We had to fight him with the double. Glass Joe, yo, I pass it slow. I overheat like a site bike, so let's go and throw me to another alley like Hogan's. Yo, I'm crazy. In the old school style, I'm throwing you straight back to the days of 16 color palettes in amazing ways like Mega Man. That was the jam and Mighty Bomb Jack. Yeah, that's right. We taking you back. Yeah, mess with me and I'm going to split your soul. And I used to cheat the hell out of Tecmo Bowl looking at people's joystick up an A button. Yeah, that's right. My defense was nothing. Ripping through fools like stuffing and they face raw. Yo, I used to play RBI baseball. Tony Harmus was nasty. 46 homers. That's right. Yo, we shatter your dome, kid. Yo, we straight Hall of Fame. And my objective is like everybody else. Destroy the mother brain. Metroid is a pain in the ass like hemorrhoids. It was twisted at the end when the chick was a girl. Yo, I couldn't defend the rights of Nintendo, but that's alright, bro. I can still flow on the crazy tip. 8-bits graphics was sick and the interplay was amazing. I'd be lacing you with the ill flows. This is a freestyle position. Listen, while I run like Rad Racer, first placer, straight Hall of Fame namer, John Cena, the ill kid, straight gamer. I do any freaking Nintendo trick, like the ill 8-bit, double cartridge, double click, I blow on it, so it works, cause it used to jump.
Wow.
You a straight chump if you ain't paying Nintendo, John Cena, with the ill freestyle flow, act like you know.
So, yeah, so that happened.
Wow.
Wow. That was 20 years ago.
I was not expecting.
Wow, the Tecmo Bowl line was.
Yeah.
I mean, I just asked him out of nowhere, and that's what he did, you know? So, wow. Anyway, yeah.
Professor,
I guess
of
you weren't really
Thugonomics.
That story. Yes, that's right.
John Cena, of course, his catchphrase during his wrestling days was, "You can't see me. You can't see me." You wave your hand. So, this week, our topic is about things that you can't see, things that are invisible, things that are clear. So, this week, you can't see me. I'm doing the thing. The hand movement.
And they can't see you doing it. All right, cool. All right, in keeping with the theme of things that are invisible or difficult to see, I have a word quiz for you. And I'm sure you kind of know the format of this quiz, which is I will give you a word. And then I will give you another word, and your job is to find the missing word that goes between those two things that creates two common phrases, basically.
Okay.
So
it's like a reverse before and after.
Well, no, you're getting the before and you're getting the after, and then you're just trying to figure out the missing or invisible word in the middle that that I'm not saying that I can't see. Okay, are we all? This passes the smell test for
yes.
being themed.
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. So again, I give you two words, you figure out the word in the middle that ends up making a common phrase, you know, with the word I give you and then that word at the end, and then a common phrase with that word, the, you know, missing word at the beginning, and then the second word. You guys get it. You listeners get it. You've heard it all before. Here we go. Question one. I've tried to make these as funny as possible. we're going to do buzz in. Once somebody gets it, they can buzz in, but then write them down. Because there is a theme all of the answer words
above and beyond.
Here we go. Word game number one. Bathtub worm.
Bathtub.
Bathtub worm.
Bathtub.
Uh-huh.
Worm.
Bathtub is a really specific word.
It is, isn't it? There's not a whole lot of phrases that start with bathtub and end in one other word. But there definitely is one. Colin!
Is that ring?
That is ring.
Bathtub,
yes.
Ring, ringworm.
Oh.
Ringworm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Getting it started off nice and gross. Yep. I'm going to write it down too.
You know, at first I thought it was gin. I was like, bathtub
no,
gin.
Oh, bathtub gin, gin worm. Yep. Bathtub gin. Gin worm is not a thing. Oh, yeah. Also, this word game, the QA process of this is that there is none. So we'll see. You know, maybe you'll come up with an even better answer and I'll have to hastily make a retreat. Okay. Next one. Salary off. Salary off.
Salary.
Like, you tell me your salary, I'll tell you my salary. Oh,
salary off.
Salary off.
Salary. Salary man.
It's one of those things where the one of Colin?
Cut? Salary cut? Cut off? I don't
know. Oh, see, here comes the Q&A. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, salary cut. Yeah, it's not quite a set phrase that you might hear.
No, it really isn't.
Cut
it
off.
Really isn't.
Cut off is about as good as the actual answer that I
cap,
have.
Cap, range.
It's cap. It's cap. I'm going to give it. It's cap.
It is cap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cap off, cap as off. In to stop cap something. Off. Cap it
That's
off.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Salary
good,
cap.
Good.
And cap okay. off. All right. Jumbo Lee.
L-E-E?
Lee is spelled, no, L-I. Thank you for checking.
Lee, L-I.
Yep, Jumbo Lee.
Tron, Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Colin again?
Is that Jet? Jumbo
it certainly
Jet?
Is. It is Jet certainly Lee. Jumbo Jet and Jet Lee. Yep. All right, we move along. You're writing those answers down.
Yep.
Turn room.
Turn room, R-O-O-M?
R-O-O-M, yep.
Not broom. Okay.
Not broom. Turn room.
room.
This one might be a little tough.
Turn out back room.
Room. What's room?
Back not
room.
Really. Back is not bad, but it's not the one I was looking for. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I
mean, turn back and back room.
This is key? Tough. This
turn
is
key.
Tough.
Key room.
Turn. No, not quite.
Yeah, it's no.
Yeah. Backwards, you know what? It might have to be. I might have to give you guys this one because this might be. I mean, especially with like, yeah, turn back and back room.
Oh, wait.
Think you have a good one?
Is it coat?
You know what? So yes, it is, except for it's cloak. So I knew that, you know, the problem is, so I wanted cloak, but then I realized that turncoat and coat room is like the exact same thing. So it could be coat, but for purposes of this, let's put cloak, okay?
Okay.
For purposes right. of...
Oh, I know the theme.
Oh, what's the theme? You got it I'm immediately.
I'm not telling you. Joe, let's wait until the end. Wait until the end.
Now I can reverse engineer.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay.
Maybe you can. Okay. Title off. T-I-D-A-L. Title.
Off.
Yeah. Karen.
Wave?
Correct. Wave off and tidal wave. Okay. Apex drone. Karen.
Predator.
Apex predator drone.
Good.
And predator drone. This I'm not too fond of, but red cartridge. Red cartridge.
Apex.
I wonder if there's a better answer for this, but on the quiz.
Red.
None.
Ink.
Yes.
Oh, red ink. Red ink. Ink cartridge. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, just a couple more of these horrible things. Okay. under hanger.
Under
hanger
is I feel silly saying coat again, but undercoat and coat hanger
pants.
Pants. You know,
yeah,
underpants and pants hanger. Why did you say pants hanger? You say coat hanger. What's the generic term for that?
Clothes
wire. Yeah. Underwire. Wire hanger.
Wire hangers.
Clothes is what I was going for. Oh, yeah. See, that's really good. That's way better than mine, but it doesn't go with the theme. Go with clothes.
Karen's got the theme, so she's got one
Karen's
up
got
on
the
me.
Theme down, so she does. And finally, karma twist. Karma twist.
Oh, no.
Karen.
No, I was going to say chameleon. But I don't know.
Correct.
Oh, what's a chameleon twist?
It's a lovely game for the Nintendo 64. Oh, now,
God.
Having done this. Having now gotten all of these, that's ring, cap, jet, with a lot of assistance from me of saying, no, not that one. No, not that answer. No. That was really good. Well, what I was really thinking of was with, so we get down to, with an assist, ring, cap, jet, cloak, wave, predator, ink, clothes, and chameleon. So.
They turn invisible.
Karen gets it. You have your ring in Lord of the Rings, which turns you invisible. You got the cap of invisibility, which is shared by Greek myth and Super Mario 64. Wonder Woman's, of course, invisible jet. Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. Waves are things in real life that are invisible, as in rain. The Predator can certainly turn himself invisible. Invisible ink. The invisible clothes worn by the Emperor, which can only be seen by really smart people. And then, of course, a chameleon who can turn himself. Let's just say invisible if you're not looking, you know.
Yeah.
No, not that one. Oh, that
no, not that one.
Not that one.
Turns out it's really hard to make one of these quizzes when there's a theme and you're trying to do it off a certain list of words and you run yourself into a corner of like. What can I do with cloak or ink? You know, it seems so easy in the beginning.
You did a very good, dad parent maneuver of the good, but no, guiding us. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Y'all. Well, longtime listeners may know that even though we are a very strong trivia team when we're together, we're not great with U.S. presidents trivia. And that's and this stuff is studyable. Real hardcore trivia people like know. Oh, yeah. What's the 26th president? They're like, oh, it's this. And it's between the years.
There's no reason not to know. It doesn't change that often.
But I want to talk about Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was a U.S. president, if you didn't know. And this is what I do know about Dwight D. Eisenhower. His nickname is Ike. He planned the invasion of Normandy. He was the president before JFK. And thanks to Good Job Brain and you, Colin, I learned that he set up the U.S. interstate highway system.
Yes.
And that he was played by Robin Williams in Lee Daniels, The Butler.
I did not know that.
Well,
now you know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Before he was President Eisenhower, played by Robin Williams, in 1943, during World War II, he was U.S. Army General Dwight D. Eisenhower. Stationed in Europe in 1943, he sent a telegram to make an urgent request. This request, it wasn't for more troops. It was for Coca-Cola. And he didn't just request, hey, give me some bottles of Coke. No, he requested 10 portable factories, bottling plants to be set up near the front lines so the troops could have access to Coca-Cola. Don't send us a couple of cases of Coca-Cola. Send us the ability to make Coca-Cola here. You know, we're here fighting a war. So the Coca-Cola company was on board, and they actually helped establish these makeshift bottling plants near the front line. And thanks to like heavy lobbying in Congress and the massive blast of advertising and marketing, Coke was treated as a wartime necessity was then allotted larger sugar rations during the wartime.
Whoa.
Because it is a wartime necessity.
Keep the boys fighting.
Right.
They had so many different and unique ads during World War II. They all expressed this kind of feel-good feelings of people coming together and Americana and soldiers and locals, wherever they were, New Zealand or Alaska and Philippines, like hanging out together, drinking Coca-Cola. And so 6 months after Eisenhower's telegram, a Coca-Cola employee flew to Algeria and started drafting up construction plans. Then Coca-Cola sent out 200 employees out to build the portable plants, to run the plants, and to distribute Coke to the U.S. troops. And don't forget, these plants are set up near the front lines. These Coke employees, they're not soldiers. They're like civilians. And they had to wear military uniforms, and they actually had to have rank.
It's called
technical observer. So they're like civilians, but they're like civilians working with the military.
I'm imagining, you know, how like the UN has like the blue helmet, you know, for people in war zones, that like there's like the Coca-Cola, we have like a little like the red and
polar
white stripe. Yeah, exactly. Helmets to, oh, those are Coke workers. You
yes.
Know, like, yeah.
And
yeah.
And they had this reputation. They're like, oh, it's, you know, Colonel Coke's, you know, and they were really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of things that remind you of home, or not a lot of things, not necessarily luxury, but a nice item to have. Right.
I mean, look, when you're in the army on the front line, most of the people that you come in contact with are either yelling at you or shooting at you. So if you've got someone bringing you some nice cold fizzy Coca-Cola,
And so this is when Coca-Cola cemented their like Americana status to the world.
Wow.
Right. World War II. And there's a term for this. It's called Coca-Colonization.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
America in the 20th century. Blue jeans, rock and roll, and Coca-Cola. Yep. Like, that just became an icon. I read a report that in today's money, Coca-Cola lost $87 million doing this.
Okay.
To make Coke available
just in
to
terms
US
of
troops.
The materials and sending people out there and all that.
I mean, essentially, they lost money. It wasn't like they're trying to be like, oh, let's, you know, like increase our profits. This is like, let's try to supply Coke to the troops. Did they really lose money, though?
Oh, no. Gosh.
This was like they're buying their brand or reputation.
Generations. For generations.
And so what does this have anything to do with today's topic? Well, on the subject of clear and see-through things, fads, and products, we have to mention our old friend Crystal Pepsi. It's something
Oh, God.
that always comes up, launched in 1992, was a see-through Pepsi. It was Pepsi without the coloring. And this sparked this craze of clear stuff in the 90s. Clear electronics, more clear sodas.
Yes.
Zima.
But 40 years before Crystal Pepsi, Coca-Cola had already made a clear cola in secret, in kind of a secret, towards the end of World War II, you know, because of Eisenhower and Coca-Cola's efforts. A lot of peoples and places, you know, around the world, outside the U.S., had their first taste of Coke, including the Soviets. The Soviets, Georgi Zhukov, the marshal of the Soviet Union, which is kind of like Eisenhower's counterpart. Zhukov, the marshal of the Soviet Union, you know, he helped drive Nazis out of Stalingrad, and he became a giant Coke fan. But it's inconceivable. It's preposterous. And there's no way in heck he could be seen drinking an American bottle of Coca-Cola. Right. Now is the symbol of America, American imperialism.
Capitalism just writ large. Yeah.
According to the book titled For God, Country, and Coca-Cola. So Zhukov, his strong love of Coca-Cola was made known to a General Mark Clark, a U.S. commander in Austria. And Zhukov was kind of like, hey, can you like hook me up with a line to the Coca-Cola Corporation? It's like, you know, on LinkedIn, people are like, hey, can you share this contact with me? And he got in touch with the Coca-Cola Corporation and he requested and he asked if Coca-Cola could produce Coke from its European plants. We already established that there are Coca-Cola plants now kind of stationed in Europe and North Africa. Can you just make Coca-Cola for me, but just make it look different? But, you know, maybe like change up the bottles, change up the cap. How about making the soda clear? So it kind of looks like vodka. So Coca-Cola worked with a chemist to take out the caramel color. They started production in Brussels, and they put the clear cola in straight bottles. Not the curvy, you know, the Coke
the bottle with the waist.
Straight edge. Absolut vodka. I mean, that's the shape, the Absolut vodka bottle, you know, the vodka bottle shape. The bottle caps were white bottle caps with a big red star. No labels. It's a clear liquid in a vodka-like bottle with a white cap and a red star. And this was colloquially known as white Coke. Even though it's clear, the bottle cap is white. This is white Coke. And Coca-Cola was given free passage to Soviet areas without any bureaucratic red tape troubles. If you make this for us, we'll make it easy for you to get it to us, to the Soviets. They produced 50 crates of white Coke. And this is all for Zhukov. This is all for him. It's not for distribution to the troops. It's because he was a giant fan. But in terms of the clear cola wars, Coca-Cola made their clear cola decades before Crystal Pepsi. And it was because they had to make this secret clear cola, non-American clear cola for a Soviet
vodka
general.
Appearing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know if any bottles still exist, Karen?
I tried looking. I was like, oh man, maybe it's on eBay. I don't think so. I don't think it has survived. Maybe he drank it all.
You know what? Good on him, right? If you're going to get your 50 cases
your
or whatever,
lifetimes,
you drink,
yeah.
You drink that stuff.
The next time, if you're traveling abroad and you're enjoying that icy cold refreshing can of Coke, just know that President Eisenhower, played by Robin Williams, played a part of it.
That is really incredible. Like, it's so American. We need to have frontline Coca-Cola being made here to keep our troops going comfort and... I'm smiling like ear to ear here. It's just such a hilarious American.
And it worked. And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. Yeah.
So Coca-Cola in the 90s, and I did mention this in a previous episode about Zima and hard seltzer. Coca-Cola didn't have a Coca-Cola clear version in the 90s. They did have Tab Clear, which is their subsidiary Diet Cola brand. Okay. So they had Tab Clear.
This is clearly a bad idea. we're gonna do it anyway, yeah, but we can do it as Tab. That's fine.
You can have this one, Tab. Yeah.
You guys have betrothed. You guys have partners.
I call them Taiwan.
Your wives are of the, you know, Taiwan backgrounds. We do a weird thing, and I don't know if it's just our family or a lot of Asian families. When you have a cold and you have a cough, you make Coke tea. And so you take Coke, normal sugar Coke, not Diet Coke, and just normal Coke, you put in a pot and you slice up some lemons and you boil the heck out of it. All the carbonation is gone, and you drink it like it's tea, and it's supposed to help you with your sore throat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Coke probably tastes pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it tastes like really sweet tea, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
Hey, we're back. This week we're talking about things that are clear, invisible, things that you might not notice.
I'm glad you laid the path down for me here, Karen, with a tale that leads to the invisible. So on January 6th, 1995, there were two armed bank robberies in the area of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
the Fidelity Savings Bank in Brighton Heights and the Mellon Bank in Swissvale were both robbed, armed robbers. These robberies were carried out by the same two men, in fact, MacArthur Wheeler and Clifton Johnson. They were fairly straightforward bank robberies, at least by the standards of TV and movie. They went in with a gun. One of them had a gun. One of them kind of stood in line. They made off with some money and went on and got away.
In big sacks with a dollar sign on the front.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Tied at the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, we'll come back to that in a moment, actually, of sort of the classic burglar image.
Right. Yes.
The local TV Crime Stopper program, in fact, aired surveillance images from one of the bank robberies just a couple months later. And within an hour of airing the Crime Stopper segment footage on the 11 o'clock evening news, the police had received enough anonymous tips to arrest MacArthur Wheeler.
Whoa!
Yes. Now, so what's particularly notable about this robbery and the subsequent tips leading to the arrest is that in the surveillance images, it is clear that MacArthur Wheeler and Clifton Johnson were not making any attempt whatsoever to disguise themselves. Okay.
Huh.
And now MacArthur Wheeler, I should note it here because every news article that I read about this made this same note that he was 5'6", 270 pounds. He was fairly easy to identify
when
the tips came in, especially when he was not making any effort to disguise himself. No ski mask, no fake mustache, no U.S. president rubber mask. When the police arrested him and they showed Mr. Wheeler the surveillance camera images of him standing there robbing a bank, plain as day, he was shocked. He couldn't believe it. And it wasn't that he couldn't believe there were cameras. It was that he believed he was invisible to the camera.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And the reason he believed he was invisible to the cameras was because he had applied a liberal amount of lemon juice to his face.
My God.
In the belief that slathering your face with lemon juice would render you invisible to camera.
Like invisible ink.
Yes, very much.
When you're a kid, you dip a Q-tip in lemon juice and, whoa, it's invisible. Yep. Then you put it over very a light. Very much. And oh my God.
Very much like that. Yes, that's right. I'm quoting here from an article in the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. But I wore the lemon juice. I wore the lemon juice.
Oh, no.
A puzzled Wheeler told the even more puzzled detectives. The detective's confusion turned to incredulity as Wheeler explained about his would-be lemonade. See what you did there.
Someone
told him that if you put lemon juice on your face, it makes you invisible to the surveillance cameras. And now, all right, you might be thinking to yourself, all right, surely this grown man in his 40s, you know, whatever his challenges in life, would not think that rubbing lemon juice on your face would make you invisible. Would you? But he did. Now, in his defense, he was at first, anyway, a little bit skeptical. He was at least skeptical enough to do a test mode, to do a little trial, right? Like if someone tells you before your big bank robbery, before your two big bank robberies, about this invisible juice you're going to use, you got to test it out. So MacArthur Wheeler, he at home, he covered his face with lemon juice, got out his Polaroid camera, took a photo of himself, and said that he did not see himself in the photo. Now, it is not clear what happened. Like, did his camera
flash,
have bad film? Did he maybe point the camera away from his face right at the moment that he snapped the photo? It's not clear. Nobody knows exactly why he believed this would work, but he did. He thought it would work. He and his accomplice thought it would work. They put the lemon juice on. He said the lemon juice was burning his face, burning his eyes. He was having trouble seeing. He was squinting, trying to squint his way through this robbery here and keeping his cool. And, you know, after you get through the first robbery, right, where you put the lemon juice on, you get through, you're like, hey, all right, that worked pretty well. Let's go do another one here. So, all right, long story short, I don't need to tell you guys that lemon juice does not render you invisible to any kind of camera, whether in a bank or not. Mr. Wheeler was exhibiting what we would probably now all refer to as the Dunning-Kruger effect. In fact, you may have heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect. It gets checked. It gets name-checked a lot on the internet, on social media a lot. And the basic premise behind the Dunning-Kruger effect, I'll summarize it very briefly, is, let me put it this way. The shorthand version of it, and this is not fair to it, but the shorthand version of it is stupid people are too stupid to realize they're stupid. Okay? And that's a very reductive way of looking at it. So, these robberies, as I say, took place in 1995. In 1996, Professor David Dunning of Cornell was reading a year-end summary of wacky and offbeat news stories. And it included this tale of MacArthur Wheeler, Clifton Johnson, and their invisible lemon juice. This exact story was the spark that led to what is now increasingly commonly known widely as the Dunning-Kruger effect. Yeah. So David Dunning, he was a professor of psychology at Cornell. Justin Kruger was his graduate student. Wow. They basically, they were so taken with this story of, is it possible that someone can be competent in many areas of life, but have a blind spot in a certain area and be so incompetent that their incompetence masks how incompetent they are. And they went on to write the paper titled "Unskilled and Unaware of It: How Difficulties of Recognizing One's Own Incompetence Lead to Inflated Self-Assessments." This was published in 1999, and very, very quickly, it hit upon a concept that a lot of other people didn't really have a way of framing, and they went on to study a lot of other examples of this, many, many, many examples of this that Dunning and Kruger documented, beyond just dumb criminal stories. This affects all of us to some extent or another. If you read about the Dunning-Kruger effect, you'll often see a very handy and informative little chart, a little line chart, the X and Y axis here, right? Which is, how much experience do you have in a certain domain or skill mapped against what is your self-assessed competency in that skill? Okay. So if you start looking at this chart, like, you know, they start going up, you know, pretty much at the same angle. Like, the more you learn, the more competent you are. And for most people, at a certain point, you will reach a sharp edge where your self-assessed competence is going up and up and up. And then you reach a point and you're like, oh crap, I don't know as much about this as I thought I did, you know, and this affects beginners in a variety of fields. Music, maybe you're learning an instrument and at first you're picking up really quick and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a savant. I'm going to nail this. I'm going to be, you know, and then you're maybe 3 months in and you're like, oh wow, this is way harder.
I'm not Mozart. Yeah.
Well, it's the sort of thing. It's like you listen to somebody playing piano and it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to learn how to play piano. Oh yeah, I'm pretty good at this. But then once you get that experience of this is how hard it is to do just this baseline, then you listen to somebody who is a master at it and you're like, oh no.
The third eye opens.
Crazy. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah,
you become all of a sudden you become aware.
Whereas in the beginning, you wouldn't have had a sense of how much it would take to get to that point. Right. That's it. You don't have the ability to understand what good is.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly right. That's right. That's right. There's a quote that I've seen in a couple places by David Dunning himself, and very cheeky. He said, "The first rule of the Dunning-Kruger Club is you don't know you're a member of the Dunning-Kruger Club." And what's interesting is a lot of people who write about this effect, they note that there's sort of a corresponding effect at the far end, which is a lot of people who are very skilled and very experienced will underestimate how competent they are because they have traveled that path. The saying, right? You know, the wise person knows what they don't know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that. For some people, they never make that realization. They get to that point where they should be hitting that cliff, and it just delayed for some people. And that affects musicians. It affects computer programmers. It affects bank robbers as well. This story of the wacky, dumb criminals thinking that lemon juice makes them invisible are what prompted the birth of the Dunning-Kruger effect. We don't know what we don't know.
We're recording this the first of March, and it was just a couple days ago. Have you guys heard of the Willy Wonka interactive disaster?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
This like magical interactive experience that you can buy a ticket to, and it turns out it was really crappy.
That's a perfect example, again, of like, how hard could it be? How hard could it be to put on the Museum of Ice Cream? I could do that.
Yeah.
You could have the AI generate your art. You just get a couple of actors and you have AI generate a script and you hand them the script. And how hard is it to write a script?
Yeah.
You have to write a script anymore.
We'll
have AI do it.
Yeah.
We'll buy some props and then we'll get people to come in. And as it actually turns out, it is quite difficult and quite time consuming. And you, in fact, have to have a great deal of experience in doing that.
It looks like worse than like a high school prom, you know, like a high.
Oh, yes.
Way better.
High school prom actually has like mood lighting. This didn't even have that. This was just like a bare set in the middle of the afternoon with sun blazing and like the high school prom
is low effort, but it's complete coverage. Like this, this yes, was low effort and like patchy.
Huge venue to the extent of like, I mean, again, if you have not heard about this, I mean, literally it's like they promised like sweet treats galore for kids because again, well, the AI promised that anyway, the kids got, I am not even making this up. Each kid got one jelly bean and one half of a cup of lemonade until the jelly beans ran out. They called the police. The parents that were at this thing called the police. It's just mind-boggling.
The part that got me was they were interviewing one of the women who was like the Oompa Loompa, you know, like manning the little Oompa Loompa station. And she was saying
the
how
one
like,
Oompa Loompa.
It was like a giant red flag that like they ordered costumes for them, just like costumes off the internet. And she's like, it was all the sexy versions of the costumes. So it was like, it wasn't even
film
bad
accurate.
Enough that it was a regular yep. quote Oompa Loompa, but it was sexy Oompa Loompa on top of that. Yeah. Right.
Oh.
You just don't know. You can't like grade your competence unless you have a little bit of experience. But it's true. And this plays into, I think, imposter syndrome.
Yes,
also.
I was just gonna say, I wonder if it's
that's
like
right.
as Colin, you said, you know, as time goes by, you become more experienced, your assessment actually goes down because you're kind of overwhelmed by like, oh my God, and they underestimate their abilities.
Yes.
That's imposter syndrome.
It is. Right. It is twinned and, you know, the other side of the coin, however you want to say it, with imposter syndrome. That's right. Yeah.
So that's the other end of the scale of the Dunning-Kruger effect.
I like have imposter syndrome every day. You want me to do what? I'm in charge of this? You want me to take care of a kid?
I'll figure it out. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'll figure
okay.
it out.
Well, to be fair, being a parent is not imposter syndrome. That is just being an imposter. Like we all agree on this, right? It's like you have a kid and you're like, oh, I have to pretend to like be a parent. Oh, crud. Oh man, what do I do?
Can the baby eat chicken nuggets?
Yeah. Right. I Googled crazy things. I Googled crazy person things, like anything. I mean, you're just like, oh God, what is it? Then you have the second kid and it's just like, you know.
Whatever.
You put him in their puddle of mud and, you know, give him a, you know, piece of French bread pizza and you'd be on your way.
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast. And my name is Bruna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet. Together, we're two scientists who explore all of the weird little questions and conspiracies of the universe in our new podcast, Mystery of Everything. Everything has an explanation.
We hope.
But that is what we're here to figure out. We will dive into the science behind many popular conspiracy theories, such as vaccines causing autism, flat earth theory, and was the moon landing fake, and if so, why the heck would anyone even do that?
But it's not just conspiracies. There's a lot of cool mysteries that we will attempt to use science to explain, such as near-death experiences, what made the Vikings go berserk, and can I control my co-host with MK Ultra?
Wait, what? Anyway, make sure to check out the Mystery of Everything podcast everywhere where you find your podcasts.
And here I have a quiz, a crystal clear quiz. I'm calling it Questions to Ask a Crystal Ball. I got a quiz about famous crystals.
All right.
Here we go.
All right.
Get out your barnyard buzzers. Let's buzz in. Let's start with the definition. What is a crystal?
Oh.
Chris.
Sparkly rock. No, it's like a geological formation that lines up with some kind of geometric, like a flat
like a surface. Lattice.
A solid material where the makeup of the material, whether if it's ions or atoms or molecules, they're arranged in a lattice in a highly ordered structure.
Okay.
And it is so regular that is a crystalline structure. So yes, that is what a crystal is. Next question. Actor and comedian Billy Crystal is known for many things, especially for hosting the Oscars a whopping 9 times. Mm. But that's not even the record. Who holds the record for most Oscars hosted at 19 times?
Ooh. Gosh. Okay. Was it... All right, I'm assuming it's from a, I mean, different era. 19 times.
Colin.
Was it Bob Hope?
Yes, it is Bob Hope.
Nice. Okay.
Good job. Oof. All right. Salt is a very common example of crystal and crystalline structure. Uh-huh. Speaking of salt, who turned into a pillar of salt when they look back at the city of Sodom? Colin.
That was Lot's wife, right? And yes, then Lot's
she
wife.
She didn't have a name.
She did not have a name? Really?
She did not have a name. She's Lot's wife.
Oh, so it's just Lot's wife? Yeah, oh, jeez. Yep. Wow. Wow.
It's funny. This is like one of those classic, I don't know if it's the right term, but I'm just calling it like the don't look back stories. Mythology, like, oh, I'm going to walk through a tunnel, but like you can't look back or else right. you're going to lose whatever or you're right. going to die or something. But yeah.
Always do it.
And someone's like, oh, I'm just going to look a little bit.
I'm just going to look a little bit.
Yeah, now you're a pillar of salt.
Orpheus is another story. Yeah, the don't look back stories. It's like, I feel like every culture has one of these.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Two methods, one called high pressure, high temperature, HPHT, and the second one called chemical vapor deposition, CVD, are two processes to do what? Oh, Chris.
Make diamonds.
Yes. Lab grow diamonds. High pressure, high temperature, HPHT emulates what happens, how diamonds are made naturally. Like high pressure, high heat.
The instant pot.
Yes, like it that. Is the instant pot for diamonds.
Yep, yep,
and
yep.
then you have the chemical vapor deposition. Oh, this is so cool. First way to do, you take a diamond. You slice it super thin.
So how to make a diamond? First, you get need a diamond.
You get a diamond. But you know, one diamond makes a lot of more diamonds. Right. And it's funny. They call it diamond seeds. They're called mm-hmm. diamond seeds because you're growing from them. And they're just little wafers, tiny, tiny, thin wafers of sliced diamonds that they have to slice with the laser. And then they put it on a dish. And then a container goes over it and then they flood it with like carbon rich gases. So like methane. And so all the carbon atoms will glom onto the seeds and start literally growing.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
That's so cool.
And then you pop them out. Raw diamonds are not the prettiest thing. It's not what you think diamonds look like, but then it's like a hunk. They grew it. And then you just polish it. Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
It is. You like watch like a time-lapse video. It's like, oh, your little diamond growing there.
Yeah. Okay. Singer and songwriter Crystal Waters released what mathematical house music mega hit back in 1994?
Oh, mathematical.
That name is in there somewhere. Crystal Waters. Math.
It's 100%. Pure love.
Oh. 100%
oh my God.
Pure love. Crystal Waters, one of the pioneers of house music. All right. Last question. What kind of crystal is used in many watch and clock devices? Ooh, Colin.
I believe quartz.
Yes, it is quartz. Okay. I'm going to confess. This episode was already a little bit segment heavy, and that's why I like made this into a quiz. But really, this is like my weird way of making this kind of a segment. This is so interesting because it's truly one of those TIL today I learned, and it blew my mind.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, I see clocks, watches that says quartz.
Mm.
No idea what that meant. I assumed it was like, oh, because it's like the outside, the glass encloses the clock is like crystal, you know, like it's clear, but really it's just glass. I thought maybe that was like quartz. I had no idea. Quartz crystal, a specific type of crystal called quartz. There's something called piezoelectricity. when stress and pressure is applied to quartz specifically, it emits a small charge, electrical charge. Reversely, when an electrical charge is applied to a quartz crystal,
right,
the crystal will oscillate, you know, at pretty, you know, regular intervals because it's a crystal, right? Everything's very regular. Just so happens with quartz, this material, it's exactly one pulse per second. And this blew my mind.
It's so cool.
Like, I know watches in the old days, like, you had to wind them up. And I never really realized when did that stop. And there is something in history called the quartz, depending on where you are, depending on what country you are in history, there's something called a quartz revolution.
Oh.
Or a quartz crisis.
Oh, gosh.
It's a quartz crisis when you're Switzerland. Quartz kind of came up in the 70s when Seiko debuted a watch that was quartz powered. You don't need the crazy mechanical gears and winding up, you know,
for all the timing, for the timing mechanism.
Before that, Switzerland had the stranglehold on pretty much timekeeping tradition and technology and mechanical timekeeping industries of the entire world. They were neutral, remember, during World War II. And so they provided everybody with all the sophisticated timekeeping equipment. And so they really had a monopoly in the watch and time industry until quartz.
It never occurred to me that that would be like somebody's crisis. Yeah. I mean,
why are you ruining our stuff, man? We got a good thing going. And it's like, you screw it up with this quartz technology. How wild is that? And so Japan's just like, yeah, we can make watches too. Quartz this, quartz that, quartz this. And pretty much at one point, it's like, every timekeeping device in your normal household is quartz powered. Take that, Switzerland.
Yeah. So, and then Switzerland is like, well, fine. Yeah, we'll just start charging $100,000 for our watches.
We'll have TikTokers do ASMR on watch cleaning. Take that. Well, that is my crystal quiz. And that's our show. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about clear cola, about before and afters, and about not robbing banks and put lemon juice all over your face, because you won't be invisible. You can find us on all major podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Explorers Podcast, Movie Therapy, and Plotting Through the Presidents. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.